Well, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, whatever time of the day it is you're listening to this program. Welcome to Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff. Well, how's 2-0 feeling out there, Eagles Nation? Feels pretty good. I'm still riding high from last night's victory over the Minnesota Vikings. Jalen Hurts coming out party. He may have arrived. He may have arrived, folks. Before I get started, first of all, thank you for tuning in. Appreciate you joining the program. Remember, we have a website or an email address, rather, where you can email us at petwg@gmail.com. Again, it's petwg@gmail.com. So, a little bit earlier than normal, but because I'm actually flying out to Virginia, as yours truly will be at our next game, as we welcome in our good old buddy, Carson Wentz, this coming weekend. I will be at the game, so I'm leaving on Thursday morning early. So we're doing the preview show a little bit earlier than normal this week. And I also, as promised, have a special guest on the line that he's coming into hostile territory. So we got to give him a lot of credit for that. But his name is Johnny. He's a longtime Washington Commanders fan. And we'll talk a little bit about that, too. About what his thoughts are on the new name change. So welcome to the program. Welcome to Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff. Johnny, welcome to the program.
I appreciate it, Jeff. It's good to be here. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, just if you don't mind just talking just a little bit louder so we can make sure that the audio comes through. What we're going to do is we're going to, what I would like to know, and I think what our audience like to know, is how you became a Washington Commander fan. So give us a little background about your fanaticism for the team, and then we'll get into a few other things here as we go forward with the program. So how'd you become a Washington Commander fan?
I've been a fan of this somewhat tortured franchise for over 40 years now. I started and became a fan in 1979. I was living in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is where I grew up. Prior to the Panthers even being in existence, most of the state of North Carolina was big Redskins country at the time. I played peewee football 1 year, and we used to have scrimmages, and they would divide our teams up, and one team was the Redskins, and one team was the Cowboys, and I was the Redskins.
No, you definitely don't want to be the Cowboys.
Just based off of that alone, I became a fan of the Redskins, and the first 3 years that I was a fan, 81, 82, 83, won a Super Bowl, went to another, and was pretty well hooked after that. Even living in Charlotte all the way up through, you know, the end of high school and into college, once the Panthers came in the mid-90s, I was already a Washington fan. There was no going back, and there was no changing. So I've struggled over the past quarter century, I would say, with not very many good results, but it's just never going to die.
You had a good start, though, that's for sure. You came into the being a Washington fan.
I definitely did have a good first decade anyway, three Lombardis and another Super Bowl.
Yeah, so we're, you know, you got to
complain about that.
Right, you got a few years on me, but we're obviously in the same generation, so we basically grew up in the same eras, and so I definitely remember when I first became an Eagle fan that, you know, Washington was always one of the tougher teams, and there was always the rival between, I mean, there was always a rival between Washington and the Eagles, but it was always like Washington versus the Cowboys. That was the one that got the headliners all the time, you know, and it was probably because of the successes of both programs when the Eagles were kind of struggling back in the late 70s and 80s when Dick Vermeil came in. I mean, they did make it a Super Bowl, but then they quickly, first of all, they were bad before the Super Bowl. Then Vermeil came in, totally regenerated that program. And then once he left, they fell down again. So there was a short period where the Eagles were kind of good, but otherwise it was like Washington, the Cowboys, and even the Giants for, you know, in the later 80s became really good. So,
right. So I would call that, it was the golden age of NFC football.
Yeah, the NFC East was nasty. Even though the Eagles weren't good offensively, they had a really good defense, you know, through a lot of those years.
Of course. All those Buddy Ryan years.
The Buddy Ryan years, yeah. So, one of the I know one of your favorites, because I was going to ask you who your some of your favorite I almost said the R word Commanders players are over the years. I know Joe Gibbs. I know you're a big fan of him. So talk about, you know, your admiration for Joe Gibbs, because obviously he's one of the greatest coaches of all time.
Yeah, my favorite stat about Gibbs is he is the only coach in NFL history to win three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks, and none of the three quarterbacks that were the starters on any of those three Super Bowl teams are in the Hall of Fame. All of your other multi Super Bowl winning coaches had Hall of Fame quarterbacks to go with them. Noel had Brady, Parcells. Actually, Parcells did not. He's won two Super Bowls with Sims and Hostetler without either one of those being in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Obviously, Bill Walsh had Montana.
Who's
Belichick
he?
Belichick has had Brady.
Who's Montana? I was kidding. He also had Steve Young, right? He had Montana and then Young.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Two Hall of Famers.
Exactly. So, yeah, I and then, you know, at what you could consider, he was still in his coaching prime, decided to walk away from coaching NFL and then became a extremely successful NASCAR team owner and leader in that side. So, yeah, for me to say, if there's a Mount Rushmore of Washington franchise people, period, whether it be players or coaches or front offices, Joe Gibbs is top of that list. There's no doubt about it. My other personal favorite players are Darryl Green and John Riggins, probably, I would say, from the era that I grew up watching the game. And
yep.
then a little more recently, I was always a big fan of Santana Moss and London Fletcher.
Oh, Fletcher. Yeah, Fletcher is a really solid player every single year.
I think he's criminally underrated, like, by the national folks.
I just remember he always was amongst the leaders, if not leading the NFL in tackles. He was always top five, you know, easy every single season. Very solid all around player. Didn't he finish his career with the Eagles?
Yes.
I want to say that he was an Eagle for about a year or two. I don't know. I might be wrong about that.
Yeah,
I might have to Google that.
Right about that.
I might have to Google that live because I don't, for some reason, I think he was an Eagle at the very end of his career. But I'll have to check that out.
That is a great question. If he was, I would be disappointed. But
gotta love it. Let me just check. No, well, he was not. So I don't know who the heck I was thinking of. So it says here, according to the trustworthy Wikipedia. Rams, Bills, and Washington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't quite remember him. I feel like there was a linebacker that did play a lot for Washington and then ended with the Eagles. And I'm not talking about Kerrigan. That one's
yeah,
obvious.
No, not Kerrigan. I wasn't thinking.
Kerrigan.
There was another one that did, and I was thinking it was Fletcher, but apparently not.
Trotter.
No, well, Trotter started with the Eagles, then went to Washington and came back.
Yeah,
so that was different.
Right.
Okay. Now, I definitely wasn't thinking about Trotter. I thought it was him, but then I don't know. I must be thinking of somebody else. Anyway, I'm just doing a quick search under his. This site stinks that I just went to. I'm trying to find the one normal one. I go to footballreference.com, but I'm not able to find it here. Oh, here it is. So yeah, you know, he was just like it said, Rams, Buffalo, and then the remaining like 8 years with Washington. So I don't know who the heck I was thinking of, but
it
wasn't him. So yeah, no, London Fletcher was a great player. You know, he's got to be borderline Hall of Famer, don't you think?
Yes, I do. When I said criminally underrated, I feel like I don't hear any buzz about him and being down to the semifinals of getting in.
Yeah, he's not even ever discussed.
I feel like there should be. I mean, he was.
Yeah, he had 5 years.
Pro Bowl and All Pro. Yeah, he was Pro Bowl and All Pro.
Yeah.
Five, 6 years in a row.
So he had 4 years with solo tackles over 100. And then he had 1, 2, 3, 4, five, six, seven other years where he was in the mid 90s with 90s. Solo tackles.
That's really impressive.
And that's solo tackles. That's not, you know, assisted tackles. So, yeah, I remember him definitely being a really good, solid player for sure. So, Darryl Green and John Riggins. I mean, you know, we've actually had, I don't want to get into it because it'll eat up a lot of time on the program, but, you know, Johnny and I, just for audience purposes, we had, I don't know if I'd call it a debate. It was really just me making the point that Eric Allen belongs in the Hall of Fame. I wasn't trying to discredit Darryl Green by any stretch, because Darryl Green belongs there. My point was, backing up Eric Allen, I'm like, you look at his numbers. Look at his career numbers, and he's right there with Darryl Green. He played less games. So it's like, how is Darryl Green in there, and Eric Allen still sitting on the outside looking in? So, and Johnny, to his credit, he kind of went back and was like, you know what? Yeah, you kind of make some good points.
I went and did a little deep dive and did some research and realized he was better than I would have guessed in terms of career accomplishments. And yeah, it really doesn't make a lot of sense that now that he's not getting in, where I've seen some people getting in recently.
Yeah,
Leroy Butler.
Exactly.
That I would not think would have been there.
That's when it starts really getting at me, is when I don't mind, obviously, Darryl Green getting in. He deserves being there. Absolutely. 100%. Right. But when you start putting,
when other people at the same position are getting in,
yeah,
that's
he's still out. I mean, come on now. I mean, that's when it just gets to be a joke. All right. So appreciate the feedback there on the on your favorite players of all time. Now, so let's talk about more recent here as we get into the big game coming up this weekend, as our teams will be locking. Carson Bowl Part 1, as we lock horns for the first time in the 2022 season. So, you know, the Commanders come into this game 1-1. So what is your – I just want to – from a Redskin fan – oh, I just said it. Say it came out. It's just unavoidable. From a Washington fan, give us your take, what your likes have been, what your not likes have been through the first two games of the season from your perspective there as a Washington Commander fan.
All right. The top of the list on what's been going well so far is Carson Wentz. I mean, he has elevated the QB position to a point where that we haven't seen in Washington in at least 5 years.
Yeah, he's playing well. He's off to a good start.
He has in the first two games, he's second in the NFL in passing yards and tied for first in touchdowns, with a couple of guys named Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Tua, who I'm sure you know who they are. He's second in yards, only behind Tua, who had an amazing game against the Ravens this past week. What I also like is that he's spreading the ball around nicely. Terry McLaurin, everybody already knew he's a stud. He was probably the best player on the team.
He kills the Eagles, too.
Yeah, I was going to get to that.
We kind of shut him down a little bit last year. We got Slay on him now, but you know, he's even beating Slay.
Last year, you could key more on him because we didn't have a healthy Curtis Samuel or the rookie from Penn State, Jahan Dotson,
right?
Who already threw two.
He's got a couple of touchdowns already, right?
Three touchdowns. In his first two games, and he's leading all rookies, running back or receiver in total touchdowns so far. And he's actually tied for second in the league, period. The only other receiver that has four touchdowns so far is Diggs, who had three.
He got three of them last night.
In the Monday night game.
Right.
So a lot of positives there. Antonio Gibson, who's starting running back in name, they've kind of taken him a little away from being the between the tackles smash mouth running back, but he's still been involved in, especially in the passing game. He's caught multiple passes out of the backfield in both games, and he's scored touchdowns as well. So the offense, I have no complaints at this point. They're averaging 27 points a game. Based off of what dregs of quarterbacks Washington's had over the past few years, I can't say anything bad about how the first two games have gone so far. From the defensive side, though, it is definitely a different story. Their Washington's defense has just been pretty poor overall. Some lack of communication. They've given up way too many big plays, 40-plus, 50-plus right. yard plays.
Yeah.
If they continue, if they do that this Sunday, Hurts, Quez, A.J. Brown, they're going to kill them. There is just no nice way to say that. If they don't shore up the communication issues that are leading to the big chunk plays, they're gonna suffer badly for that. So that's, I would say, that probably the biggest key to Washington staying in the game and potentially winning is limiting the big chunk plays. I mean, if Philly's gonna score and get, you know, 12 play 74 yard drives, I can live more with that than two plays, you know, 58 yards touchdown pass to Devontae or to AJ, or
right.
letting Sanders get open for a 52 yard
break one.
The gut, barely yeah. touched.
He's due to break one too. He's getting close. He's been close the last couple games breaking a big one.
Yeah, no, and if you watched any of the Washington Lions game, DeAndre Swift broke one.
Yeah, he broke one against us, too. He had a 50-yarder against us.
Amon-Ra St. Brown broke one on an end-around on a jet sweep that went for over 50 and caught one for over 50. So they're right there in that game.
So you've been susceptible to the big plays this year so far.
Big plays have been devastating. Yeah. Washington has got to shore that up. I mean, if they don't, Eagles are going to feast on that. But for once, for the first time in quite a long time, Washington's got an offense that's capable of coming back too. They were down three scores, cut it to seven early, like late third quarter, and the defense just couldn't get that final stop to get off the field. Similar, actually, to how Detroit came back on Philly in week one from 17 down and got it down to three,
yeah.
And then Philly, and they weren't able to get off the field either, so... Historically, I mean, this has been a very even series over the years. Even the last 10, Philly's won 8 out of the last 10. But the previous 10 before that, Washington won 7 out of 10. So it's only 11-9 Philly over the last 20 times they've met.
Yeah.
Most of the games are close. I mean, that's just... They just are.
They usually
divisional are. Divisional rivalries, the games are usually tight. They swing on a play or two here, a fumble or an interception.
Yeah, the only game that I remember being a blowout was that one on Monday night when Michael Vick went nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for reminding me, Jeff.
I just remember one of the first plays of the game was like to DeSean Jackson, like 8 for like 90 yards. It was a bomb.
Monday night massacre, we derisively call it here in
I remember that
Washington.
One. What was the final of that one? Do you remember? I think it was like 44 to something or 40 something to something. I mean, it was totally. I think in the end of the first quarter, it was already like 28 to nothing or something like that. It was crazy.
Yeah, it started out extremely bad. And actually, that was in 2013, which was the year after the big Robert Griffin season.
Oh, yeah.
Let me see. Where Washington came into that season with crazy big hopes and, you know, the expectation. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm thinking about a different game.
Didn't think I was going to bring up a game where, you know, Washington beat up on the Eagles. I wasn't going to do that.
No.
That's up for you to bring up.
2013, though, the 2013 season opener, Philadelphia did come in and win.
Yeah.
After the season after Griffin, and Griffin famously probably rushed back too early from his injury from the year before, and the game that you're referring to, though, was in 2010, and that final was 59-28.
Oh, wow.
It looks like
they hit 59.
It was 45-14 at halftime.
I knew it was a huge half.
Sean Jackson, Shady McCoy. I mean, it was a beatdown of monumental proportions.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have bad.
I have to say, I thoroughly enjoyed that one. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I can imagine.
So, you know, I'm actually surprised, though, that you said that out of the last 10 games, the Eagles have won 8. For some reason, I feel it's been closer than that, but maybe it's just been all the games have been close. But the Eagles have won 8 out of the last 10.
Even in the Eagles are, out of the last 10, starting with the 2017 season, two games in 17, 18, 19, and then 20, 21. Philly has won 8 of the last 10. Now, we've got a 4-point game in there, a 10-point, 6 points, 10 points, 10 points, 5 points.
Yep.
One big game at the end of 2018. It was 24-0 Philly. I don't even remember the details of that. Washington was well out.
Probably on your third string quarterback or something that year. Point.
Right. They were well out of any chance. That was actually the year that Alex Smith broke his leg. So by that point, you're right. They were, at one point, I think they were actually playing fourth string quarterback there. But even during Philly's, glory run from 17 to 20, 30 to 17, 34-24, 32-27. I mean, the games are always competitive. I mean, I'm hopeful and expecting that this one will be as well. Although Philly's performance last night was
it was impressive, wasn't it?
Crazy impressive.
Now here's the thing. Yeah. Here's a couple advantages from my perspective going into the game that will work in Washington's favor. Number one, you are at home, although will it be a real true home game? That remains to be seen, depending on how many Eagle fans that I expect to be there, including myself. But we have, it's a short week for the Eagles because they played last night. So that, that always usually helps the team that doesn't have the short week. So that'll help. And like we talked about, Wentz is off to a good start. So, now we're, as Eagle fans, we're waiting for the Carson Wentz to show up that we've all come to know and love. Hasn't happened yet. Maybe it'll happen this weekend because I don't think he's going to, we'll see. Again, we'll see how the fan turnout is. But I don't think he's going to be as well received in that game than he's maybe expecting. I don't know. I don't know what his thoughts are in the game. But the thing about Wentz, and I know you've listened to my show, so you know what I've always said about Wentz. He does have all of the attributes that you want in a quarterback. He's got the strong arm. He's got the athletic ability. He's got the height and all that. He reads defenses pretty well for the most part. The issue with Wentz is that sometimes he just tries to make something out of nothing too often. And plays hero ball. And also, I think it's been well documented now because of his days in Philly and then in Indy that he's just not, it's hard to describe.
Not mentally tough.
He's not mentally tough. He lets things get to him and he gets rattled and that infects his play. Obviously now it hasn't happened yet this year.
The first half against Detroit was brutal. I mean, he didn't look. I'm not sure how much of any if you actually.
I didn't see any of it, so I'm going.
I couldn't pin it all on him, but the offense was very, very bad. They scored all 27 points after halftime. If that tells you anything. The offense in the first half, the offensive line didn't play well. They allowed Detroit's D line to totally bully them, which.
Tell you what, Detroit's got a pretty damn good line. I mean, they were pressuring the heck out of Hurts, too, in that game against us.
Washington's played two games. We played Jacksonville and Detroit, which, I mean, those are the couple of the dread franchises over the, historically over the last, decade or more. But I've got a feeling this year that both of them, Detroit and Jacksonville, are going to be way better than they have been recently. They both look very solid. I mean, Washington beat Jacksonville in week one, and then Jacksonville just went and smoked
they shut out Indy
yesterday. Shut them out, right?
Yeah.
After everybody in Indy was raving so much about how glad they were that they were getting Matt Ryan and dumping, Carson Wentz the bum. And I mean, after two games, I kind of see a trend here that they may be regretting that move, and Washington may be benefiting from it.
There's a couple of teams in early trouble this year that are kind of surprising. One being Indy, being off to 0-2 start and getting shut up by Jacksonville. That's not a good sign. And then obviously what's going on in Cincinnati. I don't know what the heck's going on with that team, but they got the talent to be – I don't know how they're 0-2, but there's some trouble. Yeah. I mean, I do know part of the problem over there is Joe Burrow is running for his life. He's been sacked 13 times in two games. I mean, I don't know why they didn't put a preference on protecting that kid, because the next thing that's going to happen, because you've seen it happen to young, talented quarterbacks in the past, when there's no offensive line and these guys constantly have to run for their lives and get, they end up getting happy feet and they end up, you know, losing their normal, I guess, routine of just being able to read defenses. Just they're afraid. It just ends up naturally that they're afraid that they just know they're going to get hit. They have this like timer in their head that may not even be there. And they just sense pressure that's not there and things like that. And it starts affecting their play. You've seen it happen. So many young quarterbacks that teams that draft these guys don't build an offensive line around and they end up getting clobbered. And I hate to see that happen to Burrow. I think he's mentally strong enough to get through it, but they got to get him some help in there.
Agreed. You expect a little better from the defending AFC champs who literally came within 1 minute of winning the Super Bowl, and so far they've lost a close one to Pittsburgh and then lost
Dallas, Pittsburgh's
backup quarterback.
Right, Pittsburgh's bad.
Pittsburgh's not very good either, especially on offense.
This is not the normal Steelers, and Dallas, like you said, they lost to a backup quarterback.
Right.
So those are not just losses; those are bad losses.
Bad losses. They are.
But getting back to Washington. So, what's going to be interesting how this game develops is, first of all, if the crowd does have an impact, because I do have a feeling that it's at least going to be a 50-50 split, if not more Eagle fans be there than Washington. We'll see. But the bottom line is that whether it's whatever the split is, there's going to be enough Eagle fans there where they will. They're going to let their voices be heard to Wentz.
Definitely.
And let's see how Wentz is able to work through that, you know, because I think that's going to be probably the key to the game. Is that going to get Wentz to go back to his, you know, some of these old habits that he has where he does try to play hero man and get rattled and try to do some, you know, make a play that's not there, those type of things.
Like how Cousins did last night. He started jumping around and getting happy feet and the pressure was getting to him and he was just chucking balls up for essentially for grabs. A couple of those interceptions.
Yeah, the two in the end zone.
The two in the end zone. They really weren't even difficult plays by the D.
Yeah, it's just, those are strange plays because it just did look like he was just like, hike, I'm just going to throw it up there and hope that Jefferson comes down with it, you know?
Yeah.
And most of the time, Jefferson probably does come down with it. That's the thing. But I don't know. It's I was glad that the Eagles got to him last night. I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, I don't know if you listened to my prediction podcast, but
you predicted they would lose.
I did. Yeah.
And so Philly would lose, right?
Yeah. Matt and I both did during our preview show for the season. And you know, I did know that the Eagles would play well because it's a home opener, but I just didn't think they'd have the defense to hold up against Minnesota's offense. But man, did they show up! And I think part of that was because they gave up so many points against Detroit, and maybe they got pounded all week on. You know, you guys need to fix things defensively. But I mean, Detroit. Just getting back to them really quick, I definitely think that they're a team on the rise.
No question.
Yeah.
When you look at the NFC North. I mean, Green Bay's somewhat shaky. Minnesota's somewhat shaky. The Bears are not very good. Detroit's got a legitimate chance to put on a good season and make a run at that division. And I wouldn't have said that.
They hung
35 on Philly and
yesterday. Both of our teams have good defenses. I mean, let's face it.
They're not throwing 36 up against against a weak sisters.
Yeah, so
I think Detroit is. I mean, Goff impressed me more than anybody the other day because I really thought between Goff and Wentz, I mean, historically Wentz has been better
Wentz
than
been
Goff,
better.
Just about
right,
except for the one year when they caught a little bit of lightning with Todd Gurley and went to the Super Bowl, but look how bad
Goff played in that Super Bowl. He was horrible.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah, and he was single-handedly pretty much the reason they lost.
Think he was, yeah. I mean, he was awful.
Yeah. No, I think Wentz, I mean, they obviously, Wentz and Goff are tied at the hip. They drafted one and two in that draft. And,
yep. And both were already on their second and third teams.
Exactly, so. Yes. That's
That's probably more surprising than anything else.
That's troubling in a way, but I mean, as a Washington fan, I'm taking this as we got an opportunity to upgrade significantly at quarterback by a rash and impulsive and ultimately, I think, dumb decision by Indy to jet him after 1 year.
Yeah, I think the Jacksonville loss that eliminated him from the playoffs, I think it was, you know, they put it all on Wentz.
The whole team played poorly. Now, Wentz did not play well in that game.
No, he didn't.
I wouldn't sugarcoat that. Right. The whole team lost that game, though.
Yeah,
And yet, if you see, I follow the a lot of the Washington beat writers and people that really follow this stuff every day, and what has come out of Indy regarding Wentz's preparation, professionalism, his rapport with his teammates. They've made this guy out to just be the worst person ever.
Yep.
Yet I never
there was some of that in Philly too. There was a little bit of that in Philly too.
There was a little bit of that.
Yeah, but then it really blew up in Indianapolis.
From Indy, it's been quite shocking to even hear the owner of the franchise publicly call out how we just had to make a change after 1 year
so you got to wonder is there really something to that, or is he just the fall guy and excuse?
I feel like he might have been the fall. I mean, after two games, I'm not exactly convinced that Matt Ryan is the savior that they all thought he was going to be.
Well, you compare the numbers right now, and Wentz is far outperforming Matt Ryan.
Exactly.
You know, it's not even close. So,
right.
Well, let's dig into that a little bit more. So what is the segment or sediment coming out of Washington media and the players? So how do they feel about Wentz? I mean, obviously he's off to a good start. But you kind of started talking about it. So what are they saying about Wentz?
I believe that right now Wentz is, after two games, he's been everything we could have asked for. I compared especially to backups and not quality NFL.
Right. I mean, the bar is kind of low, just to be honest.
The bar, exactly. I mean, that's a very fair and accurate statement. The bar is low. But to come in for two games, you know, throw
seven
touchdowns. and lead drives that, especially in the second half, leading to, you know, scoring in the upper 20s. Washington hasn't had that in a while. Even the beginning of the Alex Smith days in Washington in 2018, and then when he came back from injury in 2020.
Yeah,
we were lucky to win games, you know, 17-14 or 20-14, but they weren't scoring four touchdowns in a game, and now they've done it 2 weeks in a row, and it's been primarily because of him. I mean, how he's taking command of the offense and led it. I haven't heard anything negative about his what I perceived was his. You know, he was aloof, he was standoffish, he wasn't a very good teammate. He didn't get his players to rally around him. He wasn't a rah-rah kind of guy that he, I mean, we've all heard that. I mean, I know you've probably heard it numerous times over the years from his Philly days. And
he's kind of a quiet guy. You know, he's very reserved.
Fortunately, so far, everything that I've seen and read and heard is that, you know, guys are rallying behind him. They don't feel like they're out of the game. I mean, he led a comeback, fourth quarter comeback in week one with two fourth quarter touchdowns, and almost did it again this week.
Yep.
The trick there is to not get down by multiple scores to begin with, and that's a whole different issue, and that's where the troubles with the defense have come in, and I feel like he gives us a better chance of winning games than any quarterback since Cousins, for sure.
Well, he definitely has some weapons too, for sure. You know, McLaren is a guy that always scares the Eagles, and You know, right. Samuel is a guy. He didn't even have Samuel last year. Didn't he miss most of the season with injury?
He's a good player. Four balls the entire season. Yeah, the year before he came to Washington and Carolina, he was an absolute weapon for them.
Yeah,
that year
he was a good player for sure.
And he was the star free agent pickup and had a groin injury and never really got back from it and basically only played about. He played in five games. I don't think he caught 10 passes the entire year. He's already matched his production from the entire 2021 season in two games so far this year.
Yep. And then you mentioned earlier how you brought in Dotson there, the rookie out of Penn State, and he's off to a great start. And
absolutely,
the guy that we all know has got talent, but he always is hurt. Logan Thomas has always been a weapon on tight end.
Right.
And he's back. Yeah, he's healthy.
He's caught touchdowns in both of the first two games as well.
Yeah, he's good. Another guy that kills Eagles.
Wentz has always been.
He loves a tight end.
A tight end, yeah.
He does.
Going back to the Ertz days, I mean, clearly, yeah. He keys in on his tight ends, and Thomas is coming back off of a ACL and MCL, and it's only been 9 months, and he's already back on the field, which is encouraging. That all through training camp, the thought was that he was not going to be ready for week one. And fortunately at this point, it looks like he is. I mean, clearly he is.
So what's the deal?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's one of the what ifs that has turned out well is what, is he going to be ready in week one? Contrast that to Chase Young, who is at this point,
he's still out, right?
Him on the field badly.
Yeah. Fortunately, we don't have to worry about him on Sunday.
You do not have to worry about Chase Young on Sunday.
That's a break.
Jalen does not have to have nightmares about Chase Young coming around the corner.
That will help. We'll have to worry about him in the second half of the season.
Yes, exactly. Do you know which week that is, by the way?
I don't.
I'm thinking it's later. I
could check that out. What I wanted to just go over really quick is like Carson's stats right now for this year. He's firing at a 65.5 completion percentage, so 65%, which is pretty good, really good actually.
Mm-hmm. It's better than his career average.
It is. He's higher than that. Exactly. I was just about to mention that. He's got 7 touchdowns. He's got, and again, here's the bugaboo right here: 3 picks already. So he's got 3 picks in 2 games. That's got to be a little bit troubling, even though he's throwing a lot of touchdowns. And he's got 100 right now. He's got 100.3 quarterback rating. So definitely overall, he's playing very well.
He's had two quite good games. He's had two games. These two games were as good or better than any quarterback play from Heinicke last year or Alex Smith and Dwayne Haskins the year before.
Right.
Without question. I mean, it really hasn't even been close. Now, granted, he has Dobson and Samuel where those guys didn't. There was a point where McLaurin was the only person you had to worry about on the entire offense, and he could, and even when he was being keyed on that way, he was still producing.
Yep, and Logan's back.
But now, yes, right, Logan Thomas and Gibson coming out of the backfield. He actually played wide receiver in college, so he can split out and run that wheel route and has done it.
Yep.
And he may be more dangerous as a. I don't know what you call it, a Swiss Army knife type, a gadget guy that has a straight pound the rock running back.
Didn't he and Kenneth Gainwell go to the same college? Or no? I could be wrong about that.
Gibson went to the University of Memphis.
I think Gainwell went to Memphis too.
Yeah, and that's entirely. And there may have been another.
I'll double check
name running back that you would know that also was on that same team. They were all in the same backfield.
Are you asking me?
No, I'm telling you that there was. I just don't know who.
Not
it was.
Sure who it is. Yeah. I want to say I'll check it in a moment, but I wanted to answer your first question about the when they play the second game Monday night, week 10. You got to come to the link.
Yeah, I see that.
Let me check Gainwell. I'm pretty sure he went to Memphis because I think they actually run the same team. I think Gainwell took over for Gibson once he was drafted as the starting running back there. Let me just verify that. I remember hearing that, and that's why it kind of came to mind as we were talking about him, as you were talking about Gibson.
You are right. It was.
Am I
Memphis.
Right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was a fifth round pick last year.
Yep.
Gibson was a third round pick in 2020.
Okay.
So yeah, when Gibson was never the starting running back for that Memphis team.
So there was somebody else there. You're saying.
Yeah, and I know that person is in the NFL now, and I
wow. So they've been pumping out some pretty good running backs out of that program.
Exactly. Yes.
Interesting.
And they were all on the team together at least 1 year.
Wow.
It'll come to me at some point.
All right. So let's see.
Anyway.
So let's. What do you? I mean, give us your thoughts. I know you kind of started talking a little bit about what you saw from the Eagles last night. I would think that, I'll let you. I mean, yeah. I know what I think. Okay. So what are your thoughts coming off of that game?
I've got a couple of keys for Washington to either at least keep the game close enough to win or win outright.
Yep.
The first one is run defense.
Yep.
Period. They got gashed by Detroit. They were run on pretty substantially by Jacksonville too.
Yeah.
That has got to be a focus. And neither Jacksonville nor Detroit have quarterbacks that are one tenth as mobile as Hurts.
So what's happening there then? Because the Washington is invested a lot in their defensive line. Now we know that Chase Young is out. So, but they still have three studs there, the two tackles and what's his name there? Sweat. Yeah. So Montez, why are they getting gashed so bad defensively, do you think?
That's been a hot topic this week. Some people are saying it's scheme. Jack Del Rio, the defensive coordinator, is taking some heat right now for his alignments and schemes. The linebacking core is not very well thought of to include last year's first round draft pick.
I knew you were never high in that guy. I actually was trying to sell you on him. I remember our talks. I was like, that guy's actually pretty good that you got. Yeah.
We discussed this on draft night.
I know. I remember. I do remember.
Year, and I was not happy with
that. No, I remember that.
I felt like it was a reach then, and it has proven to be
so far.
So far. They drafted him last year. They put him in at middle linebacker, a position that he never played, by the way, in college. He was an outside.
What is his name again? Just for the audience. Who are we talking about?
Jamin Davis, number 52.
Yeah, right.
So Washington's basically plays a 4-2-5 where they have four down linemen, two linebackers, and then five backs, safeties and DBs.
Yep.
Davis is one of the two backers and has been unimpressive. Good offensive coordinators getting matched up on either tight ends or receivers, and his ability to cover them has been sketchy at best. Athletically, he's a plus athlete. I mean, the measurables are great. The 40 time.
Yeah, I remember the reading of him coming out of the draft that he had the motor and he was a great tackler. And you're just not seeing that so far.
No, I feel like and not just me, a lot of Washington fans and media feel like he's overwhelmed by having to think too much. And one thing that I actually saw them do a little bit more in the Detroit game, they turned him loose and just let him blitz and not have to worry about gap responsibility and who he was, if someone slipped out of the backfield. And he had a sack, which I think that's probably the first sack maybe he's ever had. I don't know if he had one at all last year. And several other, tackles in the backfield on running plays. And maybe that's just they're figuring out where to use his talents better than having him in as a box linebacker where he has just seemed a step slow and indecisive and just not in the right place when plays have come his way. But I wasn't a fan of the draft pick when they did it, and I felt like it was a reach then, and it's starting to look even worse and worse now. But
what's going on with the D line though? I mean, are they just not playing well? Are they getting old really fast? I mean, because that line is really good typically. So what's going on there?
one of the things that's hurt the performance of the D-line is that the secondary has been suspect to the point where I don't feel like the secondary hasn't been able to hold coverage long enough to give the D-line a chance to get home on the quarterback. They've gotten pressures and quarterback hits, but it hasn't translated to a lot of sacks.
Right.
I think they may have gotten Lawrence once or twice, and I don't think they got Goff more than once on Sunday either.
What about stopping a run, though? Because what about them stopping a run? I know you said that they gave up an end around to St. Right. Brown. That goes as a rushing play. So is it speed to the outside? They're not really gashing up the middle. It's more to the outside.
Yes, okay. And there's been some talk about lack of edge containment.
Yeah.
Between Sweat and even last year with Chase Young, there was talk of that those guys were trying so hard to go upfield and get to the quarterback that they lost containment on the edges. And
yeah.
You know, smart offensive coordinators can exploit that, and that in you know, the end around was a perfect example of that. The person that I don't even remember which D end it was at the time, it wasn't Sweat. The person that was covering the same side that Chase Young would have been on just was out of position when that sweep came around.
And
I mean, Brown was 15, 20 yards downfield before he even was touched.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like he was just running a walkthrough in practice.
Well, hoping their struggles continue because Miles Sanders is ready to break one. I can feel it, man. He's getting close. He's getting close to breaking one off.
If he's going to, this might be the week he may bust out because or the defense will shore things up this week and catch Philly on a short week looking a little too confident. I mean I don't get that from them. I don't feel like Philly's gonna come in and act that way.
No, because of what we've been talking about, it's always a battle between Washington and Eagles.
Right. I mean, I would say that Washington can't go down by more than two scores. If they do, I think Philly will grind them into the ground, and it'll be 31-14 or 31-10. If Washington stays close, then they have the offense that can match point for point. But they're going to have to get a few stops. I mean, they can't just let Philly march up and down the field, unhindered.
Well, the Eagles defense, they definitely were gashed against Detroit, but they shored it up against Dalvin Cook, who's obviously one of the top backs in the league.
Exactly.
Didn't help my fantasy team, but it was impressive
that they were able to do that. What did he have, like less than 10 yards?
He had six carries for like, I think he averaged like 2.8 yards a carry. Yeah, okay. Six carries for like, I don't know. Whatever that adds up to, 18 yards, whatever. I don't know. It was they really bottled him up, which is very hard to do. He's an electric back. So we'll see. I mean, Eagles got to carry over whatever they did from our perspective here on Philadelphia Eagles talk with Jeff. The Eagles have to carry over how they played Monday night into this game. And I think if they do, then it's going to be hard to see them losing. But if they, the short week and, you never know how teams play coming off a short week. And obviously, these two teams always battle it out. So if it's close.
One other thing real quick to keep an eye on, Washington's special teams have been shaky as well. Punt coverage, kickoff returns, and even the field goal kicker missed what ended up being a pretty critical point after.
Your kicker's pretty good too, isn't he?
Yeah, Joey Sly. He used to kick for Carolina.
Right.
Maybe even one other place. He had been pretty good towards the end of last year when we got rid of Dustin Hopkins, who had been the kicker for at least five seasons before he just got the yips, I guess, for lack of a better term, and did poorly.
Is he still in the league or no? Hopkins.
Yeah, Hopkins actually kicks for the Chargers now, I believe.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yep. You're right. Yeah, I think that's where he is.
I believe he caught on with them.
And I think you're right.
Has seemingly kind of gotten his career back in track. But he missed a lot of big kicks over the years for Washington. And Sly had been good, but he missed a big one. So,
well, you don't have to worry about our special teams and return game because we can't seem to get more than 2 yards off any kick return or punt return. So, I like the guy that we have back there now. His name is Kobe. He's a draft pick. He's a little small guy, but he just right now he's new and he's a rookie. He does have the kind of quickness to get out, but he just hasn't been able to break one yet. And in fact, he hasn't really been all that impressive, unfortunately, because I kind of had some high hopes on this kid. But so far, the Eagles are, if that's one of your weaknesses, then you're playing the right team. Because the Eagles can't seem to get more than 2 or 3 yards on any return, whether it's punt or kickoff. So, I don't know. We'll see. See what happens there.
So do you actually have a game prediction?
I do. I mean, I definitely think the Eagles are going to win. Plus, okay. I'm going to be at the game, so I can't predict you're going to lose.
Sure. Of course.
And you're going to be at the game, too. We haven't talked about that, but Johnny and I will be hooking up while down there. And what's interesting is, I'll give you a little side story here. So Johnny and I have known each other for, what would you say, about 10 years at least?
11
years. We worked at the same company. That's how we met. But we've actually never, because he was like an inside at the time when we were working together, when we were introduced to each other, he was an inside sales rep and I was an external sales rep for the same company. And so that's kind of how we developed the working relationship. And then obviously we found out how much we're into sports. And so we kind of really hit it off right from the get-go. And we obviously have remained friends ever since, because he's since left the company. But we have actually never met in person because you always were working in initially in North Carolina and then you moved up to Virginia and I've been in Connecticut the whole time. So this is, we're going to actually meet after knowing each other for 11 years. We're going to meet for the first time. So that's pretty damn exciting too. I know that, we've come close a couple times to, getting together during my trips to other banks or, as I'm coming through Virginia, but, it's never happened.
Right.
So
it just definitely hasn't worked out.
But I did predict a win. I just haven't really thought about a score yet. I have to say that now my score prediction is a little bit higher coming off of how they played last night. So,
right.
I mean, in terms of when I say higher, I think they might score a few more points than I initially, because I was thinking more, and I still kind of am, a tight game, probably, I think I was probably around the 23-16, 23-14, 23-17, something like that. As a final Eagles. Now I might be around 28 or 30 to 17 or 20, something like that.
Okay. You're not far off. I'm actually predicting that Philly's going to win 34 to 24 officially.
Now you're not just saying that because you're on Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff.
I'm not just saying that.
Hey, why you feel any obligation that you had to pick these?
If I'm wrong, I won't be too upset.
Well, hey, I just picked the Vikings last night, so it's hard for me to pick against the Eagles.
It's hard for me to see Washington winning this game after watching both of them play this weekend.
I try to keep it real.
The NFL is a week to week league, and
it is.
Things go.
So I will actually put down a score. I'll say 30 to. Some reason I actually see Wentz playing pretty decent this game.
I won't be shocked.
I think it'll be 30 to, I want to say 20, but for some reason I want to give more points. I go 30-24.
30-24.
Which would make for a pretty fun game,
Yeah, definitely. No, I really hope and don't expect it to just be a total one-sided route. I would be disappointed for that.
I do think if it is a route.
More than one reason.
I think if it is a route, it will be the Eagles doing a routing.
Agreed.
If the Eagles fans or the crowd does get into Wentz's head or he struggles right off the bat, I think the key for Wentz in this game, one of my keys to the game is Wentz early on. I think if the Eagles get to Wentz early, I think the game's pretty much over. Because that's just our experience with Wentz. We know him. More than any team you're going to play. The Eagles fans know Wentz. And so I think if the Eagles rattle him early, and, you know, maybe cause, like, he's a big-time fumbler. Like, if he loses a ball or turns it over, whether it's a pick or a fumble early, and it starts to just, you know, the crowd starts getting on him. Because even though it's a home game, the crowd will get on him. That's the other thing. It's just kind of, like, so weird. But I think there's going to be so many Eagle fans there that even though he's at home, if he struggles, he's going to hear it.
Right.
Now, this is worst case scenario for you, best case scenario for us. Now, the flip side of it is Wentz gets off to a great start and plays well the whole game, which he's certainly capable of doing.
Certainly.
And then the Eagles could be in some trouble, for sure. You know, then it's going to be a, you know, pretty close game. So, but I do think, like, if there's an early turnover and Wentz just starts getting into his head and starts forcing things the rest of the game, that's when a potential blowout could happen. I don't know if I could see the Redskins blow. I mean, I've said it again. You know, have you gone the whole show without saying it, I believe.
I have not said it. I've tried to.
You've done good.
Even though, to be honest, I, as a longtime fan, I hate the new name. I didn't like it when they were talking about it. I still don't like it.
Oh, God.
They're still my team, though. I mean, what can I say?
Yeah, you have to. I mean, I can't even relate to if the Eagles ever change their name.
Right.
That would be painful. Like, truly painful. I know it sounds probably ridiculous to some people out there, but I don't even know if I could, like, that's just part of me, the Eagles, you know? It's like changing your kid's name, right?
That's a pretty good analogy.
I don't even have any kids, but I could, but, you know, it's just like, or changing your own name, I guess. Maybe that I could relate to. Yeah, you know, right. You know, 40 some odd years of Jeff is my name, and I'll just change it. I'll be forced to change it someday.
Yeah, okay, Kevin.
Yeah, right? I don't know. Thankfully, I don't have to worry about that. But yeah, I think they could have chosen some different, a better name, though, than that one. But I'm glad they didn't go with the Wolves or the Red Wolves or whatever, because that would have been tough for me, because I'm an advocate for Wolves, and I don't want one of my division rivals to have that as a name. So I was glad they didn't choose that.
I loved Red Wolves. That would have been my top first choice if they had gone with something like that. That was a name that had been floated out there, and
yeah, I heard.
It was a pretty big faction of fans that wanted that name and thought that would be the best.
So, do you have a final score as we wrap up the show here? As we're about to into the
hour. I said Philly 34-24.
Oh, did you? Okay, 34-24.
Yeah, 34-24.
Wow, so you got a wider spread than I do on my final prediction.
Yeah, 34. I'm predicting Philly will cover.
What is the spread for the game, by the way?
That's interesting. It started before yesterday, before Sunday's game started. I think I've seen it as low as Philly favored by 3.5. And after last night, I've seen it as high as 6.5 now.
Wow.
So it has moved sharply in less than 24 hours based off of how Philly played last night and how Washington didn't play well on Sunday.
Right. Yeah, that's always going to factor in.
That's pretty understandable. I mean,
especially since it's so early in the year when those type of games are going to have more of a impact in making the line.
Correct. Right. After the first week, they saw Washington beat Jacks and saw Philly, you know, win but closely against Detroit, and now they've seen two games and. I am looking at it now as looking like, where's the last report I've seen for the spread? Yeah, it is 6.5.
Okay.
It's gone from 3.5 to 6.5 in a little over 24 hours.
Yeah, I'm wondering how it's going to go. Now, one little interesting tidbit. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. Matt texted me just before the show, actually, and said that you lost your center for the season.
That is correct. That's a good point, actually. I had that down on some notes that I jotted. Chase Roullier is his name. He got hurt in the next to the last snap of the Detroit game after the game was already out of hand. Tore his knee. I don't know if it was ACL or MCL or whatever. Now, interestingly, they signed a player today, a guy named Nick Martin, who's actually the younger brother of Zach Martin, who plays for our hated for rival Dallas. Cowboys.
Yeah,
he's the younger brother. He was a 4-year starter at center for Houston, but they released him. He was on the Saints practice squad, and Washington signed him today. On the practice squad.
Okay.
Yeah, they signed him today, so. I don't know if he comes in and he immediately assumes the starting center position in his first week or not, but they did make that move. That is definitely a concerning piece of the offensive line that, if one way or the other, they're going to be breaking in somebody that doesn't have the same number of reps and snaps with Wills.
Right. Either way, even if he ends up kind of plugging that hole, it's his first start. Right. He's got a short week.
Exactly.
Right. Well, that'll help. You hate to see guys go down with injuries,
but that is true.
That could play a role. He's got good bloodlines, but as any Eagle fan could tell you that we're the only ones that ended up drafting the horrible Matthews and the Matthews family. 1 year as linebacker. I can't even remember the heck the guy's freaking name was, but you remember there was Bruce Matthews was the father, and then Clay Matthews, and then the other Matthews there for Green Bay. What was his name? Is that Clay Matthews Jr.?
That was Clay Jr.
Yeah, because his father. They were all great, you know, great Hall of Famers even. And then the Eagles drafted, I can't remember his name, one of the Matthew brothers. And he was a bust from the beginning, you know, just terrible. Like, I was all excited too. Like, oh man, he's got to be good. He's a Matthews. Nope. So I don't know how
Not always.
Yeah, not always. He was like, I don't know what happened to him. He didn't get all the athletic genes, that's for sure. Probably rode the coattails of the last name. It was never all that good, ever. But
it definitely happens.
But like all of them are just such great players, and he was total bust. Any final thoughts here before we close out? I want to thank you again for joining the program there, Johnny. And we're going to bring you on. As long as you enjoyed this experience, we'll be happy to have you on for round two in that Monday night game coming up week 10. But
I would say final thoughts are, I'm excited just to be going to a game in a stadium again. This will be the first one that I've been to since prior to COVID.
Yeah,
2020
me too.
Was a wash. Nobody went to any games in 2020. And I did it in 2021, even though I could have, but I did it. And it wasn't because of COVID. I just didn't find the opportunity or the desire to do so.
Right.
So I'm just looking forward to being in the stadium and tailgating and doing all the stuff with my son, who's going to be there too.
He
just turned 16.
It's going to be fun.
And he's psyched about it as well. So that win, lose, or draw, it's going to be a great day just to be out and enjoy it and get to meet you and your brother and
yep,
your family,
my niece and nephew will be there.
So
yeah, it'll be definitely.
That's my takeaway for final thoughts, I would say.
Yeah, I definitely look forward to that as well. And I actually was saying, me too, when you're like, I haven't been to a game since before COVID. I'm like, me too. But then I had to think about it. I'm like, no, actually, I had a friend of mine who had Jets tickets last year and called me up saying, hey, we can't use two tickets. You know, you want to go to the Jets game? And that was in New York. So I ended up taking my brother-in-law last minute, and we went to the game. So I actually did go to see the Eagles on the road last year. So this will be two straight games in the last, almost 4 years where I've seen the Eagles on the road. Not even in Philly. So that's kind of interesting how that all worked out. But, yeah, looking forward to meeting you and your son this weekend. And it's going to be an interesting environment, I think, you know, with the crowd being split, as we're kind of both assuming that it will be, and welcoming Wentz, and Wentz is off to a good start this year, and you know, him playing his former team, and there's a lot of elements to this game that are just make it more fascinating than just what a typical Eagles Reds. Almost got it again. I get like a buzzer or something. An Eagle Commander.
There definitely are a lot of interesting plot lines for sure.
Yeah,
even more so than your typical. This is an NFC rival game. We all know how those are.
Yeah,
but yeah, there's a lot of other subplots that make this one even to my opinion, even more interesting.
For sure. For sure. All right. Well, with that being said, thank you again, Johnny, for tuning in, or joining us, I should say. Thank the audience for tuning in. Eagles Commanders this weekend. Johnny and I will both be there in attendance. Looking forward to it. Thank you all again for tuning in. Greatly appreciated. Till next time, fly, Eagles, fly. And we'll catch you all later. Johnny, thanks again for joining the program. Take care, everybody.